Let's get this started.
You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 30 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on this fine evening, January 31st of 2013. Let's get started with some introductions, and then we got some cool stuff going on tonight. My name is Rob to the Max, and I am a altaholic WoW extraordinaire. And tonight we've got Daryl, the Resto Shaman Hand, from the mighty north end of Canada, and special guest featuring the mighty world-class healer Affinity is joining us here tonight. So we're going to have some super awesome discussion and answering some questions from you guys, a lot of voicemails, and a Ask Mr. Robot premium account giveaway. So I think let's start off with what we've been up to this week. Hand, what's been going on with you, man?
Apparently I've been very busy. I have gotten 4 different reps to Exalted this week. I've got Dominance Offensive, the Celestials, the Lore Walkers, and last night I hit Golden Lotus, so I do have my Kite as well. That was the last one I needed. So I've gotten that out of the way. We did a little bit of raiding on Friday night. We had to get in a couple of our guildies that don't normally raid with us, and we got our normal 4 down in Mogoshan Vaults, but it did take a little bit longer than we normally take. We had a few wipes just because some of them have never been in there except for LFR, so that's fine. We'll get back at it again tomorrow. I guess the Black Prince, I've been working on that quest. As of right now, I am 5850 out of 6,000 Valor for him, and I do have enough left in my cap to get that this week, so I should be able to get that tomorrow during our raid. I'm kind of hoping. Rob, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I think last week I left off of, I had gotten the Valor with the Black Prince and finished that quest off and then did some battlegrounds, and then there's some weird little mini raid boss guy down in Cressering Wilds. We actually just took our raid team down there and stomped his face in. So that was kind of nice. And I've got the Wait Until 5.2 for More quest going on. So other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot. I started leveling my druid up a little bit, goofing around on some alts. I've got an alliance monk that I'm leveling up to do that Herald of the Titan stuff. And she's like 40 something or other now. So I haven't been up to a whole lot, you know, kind of laying low. It's a bit of a lull in the expansion right now if you're not raiding really hard or anything like that. But I guess speaking of raiding and things going on in the expansion, Affinity, what have you been up to, man?
Wiping the farm content. Well, no, seriously. We've been doing some PTR stuff. We had, 2 bosses today, and we've got 2 more tomorrow. But, you know, the usual, multiple alt raids, wiping the bosses, rig yelling at people when it gets angry, some more rig yelling, and trying to not do dailies. It's kind of, you know.
You've been exalted on everybody for a while, right? You hit that.
Yeah, right. I stopped doing dailies as soon as I could stop doing dailies. I'm exalted on a couple of things, but I kind of said screw it. Like, whatever.
Yeah, see, even the pros, wag their finger at the dailies, man. They're just annoying.
Dailies don't make me want to do anything more than complain about dailies.
Right.
They drain in the capital city.
They drain your
complaining
soul
about dailies. I've been doing a couple of dailies for like coins because I finally ran out of coins from when we actually had to do dailies, and yeah, it's pretty painful just trying to get through like a daily set of like Golden Lotus or whatever. I can't believe just how long it takes to get through all 3 sets. It's retarded.
You probably don't even need any gear at this point, huh? So do the coins matter to you? Or
I need like 2 rings, I think. So I'm just doing it because otherwise I'll never get the rings, because it'll be like Dragon Soul where like months before I finally got my full best in slot on the character, but you know, whatever.
All right, sounds good. Well, let's get into it. I know we have lots of voicemails and some a really good email that was sent into us. That was some good discussion. All right, so
play this first.
Got
Deep Run Tram, last call for mail.
All right, we had Ray sent in a voicemail for our last show with Ask Mr. Robot, and he actually won an Ask Mr. Robot premium account, and he sent this in for us.
Hello, Hoofit, Hand, and Rob. This is Ray, the fortunate father of five. I just listened to episode 29, and I loved it. And I got to be totally honest with you, I have actually never been to AMR before today. So I received your email telling me that I got that free upgrade, so I thought I'd go to the site and check it out. And it was amazing. I was expecting to be overloaded on stats and stuff, but the site is so easy to use, and all the information is so incredible. So I'm picturing it like having my own little nerdy Buddha sitting on my shoulder, telling me all the secrets. So I just want to say thank you very much for this chance I have to get to really maximize my fun. And I'd like to leave you with words of wisdom that my father passed down to me and that I pass on to my boys. If mama isn't happy, nobody's happy. Thanks a lot, guys.
That is so true. That is words of wisdom for sure.
Right on, Ray. I'm glad you were able to get that premium account and take advantage of it. Well, since we are giving away another premium Ask Mr. Robot account, and we've asked people to send in some voicemails to us, let's get on to the next one here so we can get through some of these.
Hello, training dummies. This is Elizabella from the Elizabella Chronicles and the Epic Questions podcast. Just got done listening to episode 29, Can a Dummy Stump a Robot? Epic show. Definitely loved your work with Zupercat from Ask Mr. Robot. So excited that Ask Mr. Robot let her get away for just a little bit so that she could come join the show. Big fan. Have been listening since, I would say, not episode one, but pretty close to that. And I just love listening to your show. Keep up the great work. And as always, have a wow-tastic week.
All right. Thanks for sending that in. And we definitely will. We also have Brett. Okay. Those are for our last show. So now we have new stuff. So Brett sent in a question about farming moats.
Question. Outside of farming for moats of harmony, what is the best place to get lots of moats or moats quicker? I know you get 16 moats per day per farm if you maxed out your tillers, but I'm trying to get the epics that you can make from blacksmithing, and they require 5 spirits of harmony to make 1 piece of gear. Just looking for some advice. Thanks.
Well, I know a lot of people still are level Neptunes and don't have any even Raid Finder gear yet. So crafted gear, the 476 stuff, is still kind of legit. The only guaranteed way to get those moats is on your farm. Otherwise, you're just going to be out killing guys and hoping that they're going to drop. So you can get about 1.6 spirits per day if you plant them on your farm. So that's probably the easiest way to do that. What are you doing here? Are you doing any farming affinity?
No. those are like dailies to me. I never really figured out the moats. Like, I don't know, there was a couple of really good farm spots, but I think they nerfed most of them, and I don't keep up with that usually. I'm way too lazy for that. That's what gold's for.
Yeah. How much? I know somebody asked you this earlier in your stream, and it made me laugh. How much gold have you spent this expansion on gear and gems and enchants and everything? Between all your alts and everything. So.
God. Probably close to 1 million gold. Probably.
Just in mist so far?
Yeah, just in. I went in with like 1.3 million gold, and I think I'm down to like 300-ish K.
What do you do to make gold then?
We do sales runs. So like we sell mounts, titles, and achievements and whatnot.
So you split between everyone?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we just like split the gold. Like in Dragon Soul, we were still doing like Firelands, like just doing 10 men and like selling the mounts. And, you know, I was making upwards.
Seriously?
Of, like,
even in Dragon Soul, you were still doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were still selling like Sinestra during Dragon Soul. It was pretty good. There was some weeks I was making like 150, 200,000 gold in a week.
So what's a run like that cost? And what do you guarantee people if they go with you?
I think the current stuff is... Gosh, I don't even remember. I think it's like 850 or 900,000 gold for like a full, like, just heart clear. And really, all it guarantees is the achievements. It's literally a... We try not to sell you the gear because we can't guarantee that, you know, anything is going to drop.
Right.
So it's basically like if gear drops, that is what you say is your main spec. Like if you go on as like a discipline priest or whatever, you know, if like spirit cloth gear drops, then, you know, have at it. But we never like guarantee you anything because we just, you know, we don't control what physically drops off those bosses. Right. But our prices are pretty outrageous right now. I'm sure they'll, you know, average out more towards the end. But like when we were doing like Fireland sales, I think the lowest point at one point was like the rag title and mount for like 200,000 gold or 150,000 gold or something in that range near the end.
Man, and are you doing that with a 25 or a 10 man or?
Well, it's going to depend. Like there's not really a mount that you can sell from like killing a boss right now. So we're really just doing like titles and gear, which not a lot of people are after. But like in Firelands, we were doing like 10 mans. You know, we would do like 5, 6, or 7 10 mans and sell the mount that way. And then, you know, we do like 1 or 2 25s on top of it as well. So kind of, you know, depends on what we're selling.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, man. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I knew you guys did that, but I didn't realize that that was a massive source of income for you.
It's a huge amount of gold. I mean, we got, you know, 3 million for the guild bank, and then an average per person was well above 500,000 gold within the guild. So it worked out pretty nicely for us for that.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, Buckner sent us in a voicemail question about some old raids, which is kind of what we're talking about just a little bit here. So let's see what he has to say.
Hey, you training dummies. I have a question for you. In regards to the current tier content with raiding, how do you think that compares to, say, Wrath content and Burning Crusade? I just started playing the game heavily back this summer, and I hear people talking all the time about how raiding used to be, how great it was. As a new player, do you feel I'm missing out a lot there? I do know I can go in and solo a lot of the old raids, and the guild that I'm in, we're fortunate enough to get in and do them weekly. But I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts is behind that. Anyways, guys, I've been listening to the show since day one. I really enjoy every episode, especially the macros. It's helped a noob like myself out. But thanks, guys. This is Buck Hunt, Pandaren Hunter on Cool Terrace.
So, Finny, what do you think? I know. When did you start with Blood Legion? It was in Firelands.
Right before Firelands, yeah. It was like a month or so before Firelands came out.
And were you hardcore raiding before that?
And a little bit. I mean, I dabbled a little bit back in Burning Crusade and whatnot, but nothing like, you know. It was all like after the 3.0, like pretty sizable nerfs to things. And even then, I didn't get through a lot of the content back then. So raiding for me, you know, last 2 or 3 years or so is really, that's when it started to get hardcore for me.
I know a lot of people have nostalgia about vanilla and BC stuff, but excuse me. I think the game's come a long way. And if we went back to to what it was, you know, 6-7 years ago. I don't think people would enjoy it quite the same they think they would. Do you have a favorite raid or like an older raid that you, or you know, a style or something about raiding that you wish they would bring back, or do you like the direction that it's taking now? Or
I mean, my viewpoint on things is, you know, the people that are saying, yeah, the raiding back then used to be awesome. Those are the same guys that, you know, I was raiding with back then that were complaining about how hard the content is and how they can't enjoy it as a right. casual player. It's like, you know, it was okay. Now, if you look back at it, you go, that was hard. That was really cool. You know, we never really got to get through all the content. It was fun. But when you were doing it back then, everyone was going, this sucks, this is too hard, why am I doing this? Like, ratings evolved over time, and I think it's gotten better, and they've been able to distinguish a lot more between kind of the casual players versus the more hardcore players, and eventually, you know, everyone gets to experience things through, like, nerfs or gear upgrades or whatever. So I personally feel like things have gone in a better direction now than they used to be, but I mean, I guess I'll sort of, you know, look at stuff back then as, you know, that was really cool and all, but I mean, I never killed anything when it was relevant. So how incredible was it really when, you know, a very, very small portion of the player base back then actually got to do everything when it was relevant?
Yeah, the whole accessibility of end game right now, I think is a great step in the right direction. I know people complain a lot, especially about LFR, but if it weren't for that, I think a huge, huge chunk of the player base wouldn't see the content at all, period, you know? It wasn't up until, you know, the LFR Dragon Soul that people saw the last boss of the tier, so I think it's a good step in the right direction. What do you think, Hind?
Yeah, I agree, definitely. You know, as for the old raids, myself, I did Molten Core, and I think it was Domo we ended on, like, before we had our second child was born, and we had to stop raiding because of that. And while we were away with that, we took a month or two off. The guild we were in ended up killing Ragnaros during that time. But, you know, they also invited a lot of people to that guild at that time. So when we came back from having our kid, came back to play WoW, we never really got back into that, in with that guild, all the new people. We ended up leaving that guild and joining the Horderlies, where we're still at now. So that was really the end of our raiding in vanilla. I remember about that was fire resist. You just needed fire resist gear. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that's changed in that regard, gearing for one specific thing like that. As for Burning Crusades, we didn't do much current raiding. I know we did complete Karazhan, but I think it was maybe, you know, two or three patches behind when we finally did complete that. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we were able to do it at the time. But, you know, as for raiding top-notch, we've never really been there at that. So, you know, I'd like to answer this question better, but I don't know if I have the experience to. You know, we've always dabbled. Like, even in Wrath, we were in Alduar a bit. We got, I think we completed about half through Alduar, but even then it wasn't when it was, you know, the top-end raid. We did complete Trial of the Crusader. That one I didn't enjoy as much just because it was one room, really. Karazhan I really liked because you were storming a castle, it almost felt like, and it was, it seemed a lot more fun. You know, I almost wish they'd bring back a Karazhan style raid again, just in the design of it. Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I feel about that. It just evolves, you know, through time, and I like where raiding is now because it does seem, you know, well, LFR is a great feature because it does allow a lot of people who weren't raiding before and all these other expansions to see the content. I think it's probably one of the best things they've added to the game recently, for sure. So, yeah.
Right on. Well, let's see here. Moving along, we have a pretty, a little bit of a lengthy email here sent in from Salty Dagum over at the Twisted Empire Guild. I don't know which one of you guys wants to read this, but I think get into it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit afterwards. The unannounced Mists of Pandaria feature.
I think we're going to have Affinity read this one. So
I can attempt to read it and see if I can not butcher it in the process.
I'm going to be hypnotized by your sultry voice by the time you get to the first paragraph.
Oh, well, why not? Okay, so it says, Dear Hen, Hoof, and Hot Road. Hot Road?
This whole alt thing is out of control, so they all blend together after a while.
Dear you people. There we go. Dear you people, I was wondering what you guys thought of the unannounced feature Ghostcrawler mentioned in a recent tweet might be. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and look forward to hearing your replies, and I've included my thoughts below. Have your tinfoil hats at the ready. Here's my theory on the feature. I kind of wish I actually had a tinfoil hat to put on right now.
Where's your hat at? Where's the...
I don't know.
Where's the uplift hat? I'm on now.
It's in a box somewhere.
For the people.
So it goes on. He says, to discuss this feature, I'd like to draw your attention to an upcoming game, Elder Scrolls Online, for a little backstory. You might have heard about this game recently as the beta just opened up for sign-up and then showed up on MMO Champion. One of the things they announced several months ago was the idea of what they called a mega server in a recent video. Basically, the idea is there are no separate servers or shards for all the players of the game. Instead, everyone's on one giant server dynamically managing the player base so that no one area is completely overloaded. Now, while I have serious, and I mean serious, doubts about the possibility of this working the way they want, I began to wonder, after reading this tweet, if this was the unannounced feature. Suspend your disbelief just for a moment for me and assume this is their plan. Take into account this would not be exactly a new thing for Blizzard to, quote, borrow a good idea from another MMO. Blizzard even stated themselves they're not innovators, they're just really good at polishing ideas. I know this would take away some of their income from server transfers, however, I do wonder if this might be a path they take to be competitive, and I use that phrase loosely. Keep in mind, I'm in no way, shape, or form calling ESO a WoW killer. Ask yourself this, though. If ESO takes even 10% of WoW's sub base and retains it, is that enough of a loss for Blizzard to trade the income from server transfers? Looking forward to your donning of the tinfoil. Salty.
That is a lot right there, but there's some really cool ideas, I think. I know a lot of the other newer MMOs coming out kind of have newer technology and newer infrastructure, and they're able to, like he was talking about, with the mega server, and kind of blur the lines between realms or shards or servers or however you want to call it. I don't know if Blizzard's going to do this or not. They're kind of too big for that, I would have to say.
I think so too.
At this point, you know, they may be able to do like a battle groups kind of thing, but I don't think they could combine everything into one, and I think people would flip out. There's way too many different, you know, you got RP, ERP, PvP, DVDs and CDs, and it's just too much to blend into one. I think the idea of cross realm zones right now, you know, is pretty buggy, but it's kind of cool. You know, I've seen it work out really well, and I've seen it work out really stupid, but I don't know. I don't know if this is what Blizzard is announcing. You know, I was joking around the other day, and I told somebody it was going to be cross-faction raiding. What do you think, Hend?
You know what? I have no idea. Like, I know this was in a response to... Someone had tweeted that Wrath had looking for dungeon feature, and then... I think that was it. And then the big thing for Cataclysm was looking for raid feature, and someone asked, well, what's the big thing for Mist going to be? And he said it hasn't been announced yet. So I have no idea what it could possibly be. The cross-faction thing you mentioned maybe, but for some reason I don't think that's it. They seem to want to, or for Mist especially, they seem to want to bring the battle back into Warcraft. You know, the Alliance versus Horde. We've worked together for a long time now. You know, we worked together to take down the Lich King, we worked together to take down Deathwing, and I think that was one of the things they had said they wanted to do on this expansion, was bring the war back to Warcraft. I have no other ideas on what it could possibly be, though. I really don't. It's totally baffling. I have no idea what he could be alluding to. What do you think this could be, Affinity?
I don't really know what it could be. I mean, to focus a little more on what ESO's trying to do with the mega server. Like, I watched that video. I've spoken about it before. The idea in concept on paper is okay. It's an interesting idea. But if you're doing it on the scale of where World of Warcraft is today, that's too many people. I think the cross-realm stuff that they're doing now is probably, you know, they could extend it a little bit further into other things, but I think you're kind of pushing it as far as you're going to go with that, simply because just trying to do something on that kind of scale would just be insane. I mean, look at when Diablo 3 launched, and, you know, they've just basically have the region-specific, auction house. Look at all the issues and uptime issues that they had with that. It was just absolutely insane. ESO might be able to pull it off. Star Wars did it to an extent with like the different instance versions of, you know, whatever planet you're on. Mm-hmm. But I don't realistically see them doing a mega server within World of Warcraft. WoW's just way too big to do something like that.
So what are they going to do? If you build your infrastructure from the beginning like that, it's one thing to start off with that vision and that goal in mind and then build from there. But with the existing layout of, you know, I don't even know how many. Doesn't WoW have over 500 servers or realms going right now? I don't even know how many they have right now, and you can't just up and combine all that.
There would be just way too many logistical issues with it.
I mean, the auction house would be a wreck.
I couldn't imagine that. And in all reality, there would be so much like segmentation underneath that with like the different, you know, like instance versions of like org, for example. You know, if they had all the WoW servers merged into one, you would have like 500 different orgs, because, and you know, you would be on the same physical server, but your interaction with other people would be kind of weird. I mean, they're kind of doing that with the cross realm stuff, with being able to, like, you know, group with your friend on another server and you know, like level together. Or, you know, like, I'll run into Alliance all the time now, even though Illidan has literally no Alliance on the server. But I really don't see them extending it beyond that for this. I don't know how that would work. I think it would cause more issues than it would solve.
Another thought that I was talking with some folks about would the possibility of taking the challenge mode technology, how they can, they can standardize your gear, you know, bring you to a certain level and apply that, you know, back to some of the older raids. Is that something that you guys would do as a guild if it happened, or what do you think about that?
Actually, I think that would be awesome. That would be a great feature if they could do that, because, you know, it's fun to go in and solo Nax, but then again, it would be fun to do it, you know, kind of at level as well, where even we had that voicemail from Buck Hunt here, and it was the same thing, right? He was wondering about the old raid, so if they could take their challenge mode technology, like you mentioned, and standardize your gear down to the level of the appropriate raid, you'd be able to experience all that. And I think, you know, maybe that is it. That's actually a really cool idea.
I think it would work for a little bit. My biggest thing about that is, though, like, if you think about it, how often would you go back and do Sunwell? Like, yeah, it would be cool the first couple of times that you do it, but then you've got to balance the fact that, you know, you're going with a full raid team in, or even if they scaled it back to like a 10 man, you know, and just a 10 man or whatever, or like a 15 man, would they, how often would you go back and do that? What are the rewards to make people want to do that? But how do they reward it to the point where you don't feel forced to go back in and do that all the time to be able to remain competitive within actual raiding? I just, my concern with that would be how much time they would spend on it to get people to actually go back in and do that content. I would do it the first couple of times, but it would get boring after a while.
Yeah, there would have to be some sort of a couple guys are saying here in chat, it would have to really be incentivized. You know, I think doing it for the novelty of it would be cool, but, you know, maybe if they added mounts or pets or, you know, gear that you could apply to your actual current level gear, you know, even though it's a level 60, you could still get relevant gear out of it. You know, I think if they were able to incentivize it, Valor or whatever it is. I think people would be interested in it. And Blizzard is pretty good at recycling content or breathing new life into stuff. So I don't know. Do you have any ideas, Affinity, what you think that this new unannounced feature might be?
The only thing that I honestly think it might be, because I'm pulling a blank for any other ideas, but I really don't think they're going to do this middle of an expansion, is one rate size. And this is something that I've been mentioning for quite a while now. They really need to just pony up and just make one raid size. And like they're doing this whole like trying to, you know, make 25 man a little bit better, because you're getting a higher chance at random drops with the Thunder Forge stuff. But I honestly feel like eventually they're going to hit a point where they just need to say the hell with it and make it one raid size. Try and meet in the middle and just make, you know, like a 15 man and just make it one raid setting. No more 10 man, no more 25 man, 15 man. That's it. And I think they're going to hit that point soonish, but I don't know that that would necessarily be something that they would throw in, like for the final tier of an expansion or something. That would be something that would be like in a new expansion.
Yeah.
Unless they just, you know, decided to screw with everyone and kind of do it then. I really don't know what they would consider to be a major feature that they haven't announced yet. I mean, LFR was a pretty major feature in Cataclysm, but what else can they really do in Mists to really kind of take that to the next level, and that they would consider to be like this major unannounced release? Because at first you would think, well, maybe it's player housing, or maybe it's the... I don't remember what they called it, but they were going to do it, something with Brawler's Guild, where it was like, you know, personal challenges to like improve your skills or whatever. I don't remember what they called it. But that's already somewhat been spoken about. Like they've already mentioned that it's something that they're considering or that they want to do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the Ghostcrawler is literally saying that it has not been announced yet. So it's kind of like where do they go with that? There's so many options that they can go with, and I can't pinpoint anything that I could realistically see them doing that they haven't really like announced yet.
Yeah, I see a lot of folks here in chat are giving the thumbs down to the 15-man raids. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews. This has been in the talks for a while, and last I read, it was definitely an option, and they're considering it, but the impact that when 40-man rating was reduced to 25-man rating and 10-man rating, the impact that that had on a lot of guilds and a lot of communities was pretty negative. Do you think 15-man raids is the best way to just get rid of it, have one raid size, period, that's it? You think that's the best thing to do?
I think it's a pretty controversial concept. It fixes a lot of Blizzard issues. It doesn't necessarily fix community issues, but it literally, it's the easiest way for them to go, okay, we fixed the problem, here's one raid setting, deal with it. Like, it's for them, it's easier. For the community, not so much. 10-man guilds, all of a sudden have to recruit 5 more people. People that have 25-man, you know, that do 25-man, like Blood Legion, we average between 30 to 35 people on roster, so then all of a sudden you're going down to, you know, a 15-man raid versus a 25-man, so it's one of those things that it's very controversial, but I think overall for the game itself, it's just like, you know, them getting rid of 40-mans. It's, in the end, it's the right decision, and people might not like it, but people will adapt to it. It's going to be a rough transition, but I do strongly believe that they'll have to do it eventually. But like I said, middle of an expansion, you know, near the end of an expansion,
no,
they'd be pretty crazy to do that.
Well, they rolled out LFR at the last patch of Cata.
That's a little different though, because they're not changing the raid scene altogether. They're just adding an additional feature, really more casual player base. Like the top end guilds used it, and some of them abused it and got banned for it. To, you know, try and get set bonuses or whatever, and they've kind of got to refine exactly what they do with LFR at this point. But that didn't really, you know, that didn't consolidate your raid size, so I don't know how that would really work. I've always kind of assumed that if they do that, they'll be rolling into their free-to-play model at the same time. would make sense, but I think they're many, many years off from that. So, I mean,
with the
what could be the main feature that they haven't announced yet?
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, like I said, jokingly, cross-faction raids, and I don't think that's going to happen. I just think it would be cool. But, you know, with the talk about LFR, do you and Blood Legion utilize the LFR still? I know from the moment a raid comes out, you guys hit the ground running. Is LFR a joke to you? Is it useless to you? Do you guys still try to go in and get your, you know, set bonuses from that stuff? Or
it depends. LFR, like when you went into LFR this tier, we didn't have access to the set bonuses right away because we only had Mogu.
Right.
So that was a little bit different in that regard. I think if we had access to Heart and Terrace the first, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, then we probably would have. I mean, LFR is really more of a way to kind of fill the gaps with your alts to try and get more gear for your alts. And then that way, you know, the 6 normal clears or 5 normal clears or 4 normal clears or whatever that ends up happening the first week, you know, your gear's in a little bit of a better spot as a result. Dragon Soul, we definitely use it for 4 sets or 2 piece, depending on, you know, if you're a healer or not in that regard. But that was also a little different because the gear had like a whole extra socket on it as opposed to like your Firelands gear. So the gap between the item levels was different. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of top end raiders necessarily pulling LFR and gear for that. And I think Blizzard's done that intentionally. They want LFR to be a method of progression for your casual player, but then your hardcore players that are full best in slot previous heroic tier shouldn't directly benefit greatly from doing LFRs. And they've done that, you know, with the gearing, but they've also done that with the fact that they try and, you know, wait an additional week so that you're already doing heroics before they really unleash the LFRs on your casual player base.
Did you like the gating this expansion, the way they rolled out the different raids and different tiers of rating, I guess?
Yes and no. There was plus sides to it, and there was downsides to it. The biggest thing was you were still doing the same amount of progression as you would have otherwise, but it was spread across 3 months as opposed to, you know, 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks. But it also gave us a lot of breathing room between races. So it really ended up kind of being like these little mini, you know, like you're doing these sprints rather than doing this huge marathon, you know, just pulling all of the bosses, which I think for me was really nice. But at the same time, we ended up going into these fights with a lot more gear than we would have if it wasn't gated. So the fights, the end bosses ended up being easier as a result. So I think, you know, like if they would have given us like Terrace and Heart at the same time, like they were initially planning on doing, then I think like Empress and Shaw, they wouldn't have died the first reset. I think you would have had a much larger gap in like how long it would take to clear them.
Right.
Yeah, no, with that, having that week, you know, a whole week to kind of gear up and do heroics before you got into raiding, that was probably a different, totally different approach for that entry level raid then, huh?
That was nice, because like the first week can be really hectic for top end guilds because it's like, you know, midnight launch, you've got to get to the max level, you've got to get as much heroic gear, right, and then you've got to try and get into that raid as quickly as possible to be able to get the bosses down so that you can unlock heroics. And then you end up doing it in much, much lower gear than, you know, we probably would have been more about 450-ish going into normal modes and only doing one clear instead of doing, what do we do, 3 clears normal. And we were basically, you know, 463 across the board.
Yeah.
Cool. But at the same time, it also made leveling a little bit more enjoyable. Like I wanted to get to max level quickly, but I was actually able to go, you know, I can enjoy this a little bit more. I can enjoy doing the heroics. It's not just a go, 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 go. It's I've got a week. You've got the week to breathe.
Well, right on. Let's move on to this next listener email, and then we can get into a little more Pick and Affinity's brain after that. Here.
All right, that sounds good. This email starts off, thanks for episode 29 and a question. Hi, guys. What's Aggro here? Wanted to say thank you so much for episode 29 with Ask Mr. Robot. It was an excellent show, and after listening to it, I decided to buy a premium membership and have been taking advantage of the awesome Best in Bag feature. It has definitely improved the DPS of my just long-shelved level 90 Windwalker Monk. With that being said, I was curious if you guys had any favorite monk resources. I've been a longtime fan of Icy Veins and Preach's class videos, but I know there must be more out there. I am having a hard time staying alive at my low eye level, and aside from me just being rusty with the class, I know there must be some resources or tips out there that might help my survivability, aside from rolling around like a boss. As always, thanks so much for your show. Keep up the great work, and get Preach on your show. Thanks. What's Aggro? Well, my monk is level 15, I think. No, maybe 16, so I'm not going to answer this one at all.
Slow down.
I know.
In terms of monk resources, I would say this regardless of our guest for tonight, but you've got guys like Affinity here who do their stream every single day and have tons of people and tons of resources and sit there and basically, like, you could just shotgun them with questions and he'll answer you all kinds of stuff. Rignaros does his stream too, and he answers a lot of the tanking questions. So I know he talks about monk tanks sometimes. There's a lot of great resources on YouTube. You mentioned Preach already. That guy's great. I love that guy. YouTube videos. You kind of got to be careful with a lot of stuff out there. It's a matter of opinion. Somebody will post a video and just show you what they do, and it may be a little bit of a style there. So I think live streams and current information is good. Noxic and Icy Veins. Affinity, obviously, you. You are getting in and learning this stuff firsthand. So what's your experience with getting the most out of a class, and especially like right now going into 5.2, is it just the beta testing or how do you get the most out of like the monk changes or playing a monk?
A lot of mine is really just kind of trial and error, pulling a boss, seeing what the changes are like and trying to actually figure out what's going on. One thing that I'll commonly tell people, there's a lot of people that'll come into my stream and they'll ask me questions. And that's awesome that you can do that. And it just kind of plays to the fact that, at your average level where you're just kind of, you're enjoying the game and you're not in Blood Legion or Method, rely on the community. Like, you've got this incredible resource, which is purely the community, to be able to ask questions to. Like, there are a lot of guides, Icy Veins, Elitist Jerks, I don't even know if that exists anymore, MMO Champion. But you can also, can't figure something out based on a guide, post on MMO Champion under the Monk section. Post under the Monk section on the official, US Battle.net. Or EU Battle.net or whatever,
right?
And there's people out there that'll just flat out respond to you, and you can ask questions and they'll answer them. And for your average player, that's probably the best thing you can do is ask questions to the community that you can't just get straight out of a guide.
That's pretty good, pretty solid advice there. I know if you go to any one of those forums or Twitter or whatever, people are pretty quick to give you their opinion on what's going on. So there's a lot of really great resources.
Yes,
out there.
There is.
We've got a little bit of more Affinity discussion going on here, and I wanted to say congratulations on your 5.1 or opening Mists of Pandaria rating and ranking. And I followed you guys very closely, and I thought you guys just killed it. I know you didn't quite take first, but you did in my heart. So huge congratulations on that. what would you say is kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the 5.0, 5.1 raids, the Mogoshan Vaults, Heart of Fear, and Terrace? If you want to run down those, what was your good, bad, and ugly for those this tier?
Good, bad, and ugly. Mogu ugly, our ranking on Will. We did really good up until then, and then we just kind of like flopped on that fight. And I think that was kind of our defining moment of like, hey, you know, we might have been able to get to this point, but we still need to, you know, pull through and still play perfect and, you know, not make silly mistakes and things like that. And then, you know, we pulled it out in Heart of Fear. We, you know, we got the world first, Grand Empress, even though, you know, we were behind by many hours on our Vizier kill, we were able to catch back up and get ahead with the Amber Shaper. Terrace was Terrace. We were doing pretty good. We were a bit behind on Shaw, but I still think for where the guild came from, and at least this is my opinion, this isn't necessarily the opinion of the guild, but my stance on it is we were like world 15th in Firelands, and you know we finished this world second, 25 man world third overall. Huge. Like I'm not complaining.
Well, yeah.
we could have done better. We know that we could have done better, and we know how we can do better, how we can perform better, how we can strategize better. But I think we kicked ass overall. I think we did a really good job considering.
Yeah, you guys did phenomenal. I know you're. How many fights are you ranked on? Like you personally, or do you even?
Do you mean like healing ranks or what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I looked at one site today. Told me you were like fifth or sixth as a Mistweaver healer, like overall. Like, but I'm not entirely sure how that data gets pulled. But
you know, I'll look at logs every now and again if we do something and I go, oh hey, I got number one. Yeah, I've got a big penis. Just you know, like joking around or whatever.
Right.
For the most part, like wow, you know, wowprogress.com. Like that's the ranking that I care about. The parses, they're nice and fun, but for the most part, I personally don't really care to push for the healer logs because a lot of healing logs are just kind of like, you know, you look at your other healers and you kind of go, I'll give you 10 gold if you AFK.
Right.
If you go AFK and let me do all the healing, you just drop your mana tied. Like we'll be good. I'll get a parse and I'll give you 10 gold. We'll be good. I usually don't chase after those much.
Well, the different classes play out so differently right now. I know Mistweaver healing was so ridiculously strong. Yeah. You know, you were doing one of the fights. I think you were doing like 300k HPS, and then you know, and then they come out and they go, "Oh, hold on here. Not only are we gonna dial it back, we're gonna kick you in the nuts too.
We're gonna make you useless."
Oh, but we're gonna leave disc priests alone because they're great. There's no problem.
Yeah, those are balanced. That's
what
fine.
As somebody who's obviously a solid monk healer, do you say this is my main and I love it? You know, how do you move forward with nerfs that hard? Do you play? I mean, obviously as a progression guild, you have to pick the flavor of the month. But I mean, what do you do personally in that situation?
I had this huge ass grin on my face when they did the nerfs, actually, because the entire time I'm just going, thank God progression's over. Thank God they nerfed Aster, you know, after progression was done.
Right.
Nerfs were horrible. Like, if I was actually doing initial 5.1 monk healing when the game went live, I would not have been on my monk. We would not have used monks, period. They were way, way overpowered, like just way, way too good. And we didn't have mana problems and we were miles ahead of everybody else. And you'd want to bring three to every fight. But they kind of went from this, you know, oh, my God, so overpowered to why are you in the raid again? Why are you here?
Right. Yeah.
So it was kind of a, you know, kick in the nuts with the 5.1 nerfs. But for me, it was kind of like, hey, progression's done. Like, we're on farm mode. It doesn't matter what I'm on. We don't have to min-max to the extreme of what character am I on for this fight. But if it was still during progress, like if we were still working on Shaw, because I think we killed Shaw like that Friday or Saturday night before the patch went live. If we were still pulling Shaw, I probably would have been in on my Disc Priest instead, which would have sucked because I love the monk class so much. It's just, it's different. You're always in melee, so you get to avoid, you know, 80% of boss mechanics. don't let any of the melee in my guild know that I say that. But you know, you get to avoid boss mechanics as a range that you have to deal with. You get to do damage while, you know, you're healing. It's just, it's a totally different healing class from what you're used to that, you know, I kind of gravitated towards it and I really enjoy it. So I've kind of dealt with nerfs and I've made the best of it. We're not really that bad once we're full best in slot, but even now it's like if I had, you know, a full best in slot monk versus a full best in slot priest right now doing progress, mm-hmm. I would be in on my priest over my monk. I would.
Did you swap out for any fights this tier?
Two fights. I was on my priest for Garajal. I was on my priest, and Vizier. I was in on my priest simply because the absorbs were playing better than just doing damage. Obviously, there were guilds that killed it with monks or, you know, resto druids, even. Mm-hmm. But since I'm in a position where, you know, I can play priest, I can play monk, and they've got somewhat similar gear to the point where I can go, okay, priest is better. Let me just get on a priest. Let's make this, you know, if I can make it a little bit easier, then I'm just going to do it.
Right on. Well, what do you think? What do you think Blizzard did right and wrong with this tier?
With the tier or 5.1?
5.1 in general. I mean, obviously it's going to be rating mostly, but.
Well, I mean, 5.1 was really just like the class changes, because that was like the patch after rating was done. What did they do right? They dialed monks back. They pulled us too far back, but the entire time I'm going, we are so incredibly overpowered. We're going to get nerfed into the ground. Like, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
What did they do wrong in 5.1? More dailies.
So you didn't have you done the dominance offensive at all? Dailies. Have you done those?
I think I'm like friendly with them.
It's actually really cool. Like they put more dailies in.
If you're,
I hear a lot about the lore, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, really? I just got done with Golden Lotus. I don't want to do more dailies.
Yeah, right. I think though, honestly, dominance offensive is probably the most well done dailies this expansion. You know, a lot of people. Yeah, they love the tiller stuff, or they, you know, they don't mind the other ones to get the gear. You obviously don't need to do dailies for the gear. So if it's not for tokens, I guess dailies would be just out of the question. You don't even want to do them, huh?
Well, to be fair on dominance,
if I can avoid doing dailies, I'll avoid doing dailies.
Yeah, but to be fair on dominance, the dailies were a means to an end to get to the lore quests, because dailies are dailies. It would have been great if we could have just skipped the dailies altogether on dominance. But what keeps you going is doing the actual lore quests, I think, in dominance, and I really enjoyed all of those right up to the end. They were definitely the best. If they'd have done that with all the factions, that would have been fantastic. I think that would have, you know, I think we'd have heard less griping about the dailies that they had for every faction. What is there, like 5 or 6 or 7 something you need to do? It would have been nice to see lore points like that they did with the dominance. Definitely.
I like Monkey C here says, dailies are optional. Said no one ever playing this game.
Well, I mean, Blizzard even said that they did, like, they made some errors with some of the rep stuff they did. Golden Lotus, just too many dailies. Like,
yeah.
They should have made, you know, Ghostcrawler even said that they should have, with Golden Lotus, instead of going, oh, you're honored, here's an entire new quest hub. It really should have been, oh, you're honored, here's a new quest hub, but you can no longer do the old quest hub. You just different quest hub.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've done better with that, with the dominant stuff, for sure. And them throwing in the lore as well, it's nice because it actually ties in more of a reason to do it. Like, you're doing it for the gameplay aspect of it rather than going, oh, I have to do this because I have to get the dailies done because I have to get the rep. Like, there was a little bit of a bonus for those that actually follow the lore and really enjoy the lore, which I think is really good.
Well, I know what you were doing tonight before you went into your normal mode raid was some beta testing. So we talked a little bit about that. How's that going? How many fights are opened up? And then I know you're getting to play with some of the monk changes too. So how's beta going for you?
I really don't know how many fights we've done so far. It's probably 5 or 6 by now on 10-man normal, and I'm loving it. Like, they really brought the whole, like, the scale of everything is kind of like Ulduar Ice Crown ish again. You know, there's lots of bosses, and the bosses that we've done so far, outside of Tortos, they've all been these really like unique, really fun encounters that have a lot of mechanics going on in them, rather than kind of like going into Heart. You know, you did all these other ones, then you go into Heart and you just kind of have these three bosses that just kind of, you know, fall over or whatever. A lot of the fights that are on the PTR so far have just been really, really cool, especially the final boss. I can't wait to get into like heroic progression on this, because I just think this is probably one of the best instances that they've released or are going to release since Ulduar, or even Icecrown Citadel.
I keep calling it beta, and I do apologize. I'm getting called out here, Croaker.
I do that too. We know what I'm talking about. Beta, PTR,
alpha,
same thing.
Beta,
same function.
Yo mama.
So I like the artwork in it too. Like they've done a stellar job with the artwork.
I haven't looked at the PTR a whole lot yet, and I kind of have been intentionally not doing that. Our guild is very casual, and we're still moving through current content. I hope, because like you were saying, they really kind of pulled back from what people really, really were excited about and really liked, like you were talking about Ulduar and some of that. I really, really hope they're able to give it that feel, because I did love that stuff. I still like going back now, and like you do your Saturday viewer runs. I love getting in on those when I can, and that stuff's really cool. I hope they're able to really bring back that feel. I think a lot of people are getting a little tired of the formula. I like Terrace this tier personally. I really like it, but I don't like how it's kind of like stand here, kill a bunch of elementals, run up some stairs, stand here, kill some more trash, run up here, stand here. You know, it kind of feels very generic in terms of a raid. So I think if they can bring back that epic feeling, it'd be really cool. I think that'll spark a lot more for current players.
I think something like they, you know, in tier 11 and then in this tier again, they kind of did this whole like three different raid zones or whatever, which was kind of, it's nice in its own regard because it kind of breaks up the monotony of, you know, one massive raid zone. And it also, you know, for us, it makes it easier to do like multiple clears of just Mogu because we're not quite ready for Heart, and then, you know, Heart and Mogu because we're not quite ready for Terrace or whatever.
Yeah.
But having one massive raid zone, just one the huge raid zone, and then having things, you know, like different wings underneath that are, you know, like you've like so far in 5.2, there's like, you know, an underground area, and then there's like, you know, just within the building itself, and then there's a bunch of outside stuff, and they really kind of make feel like they're different instances when you're going through each individual part, but then you still kind of remember, hey, this is still one really huge kick-ass raid zone with, you know, like 13 bosses or whatever.
What do you feel about the no flying over there?
In this zone, I think that's okay. And they've posted about that a couple of times. I mean, I haven't really done anything like any of the new dailies out there yet.
There's new dailies.
Of course there's more dailies. Why shouldn't there be? Dailies are optional. I think it's nice because it's kind of it's like Tol Barad again, except without like the battle that was Tol Barad. It was just kind of that daily quest hub where, and especially with there being like cross realm zones and stuff now, like you're actually going to be doing PvP on a PvP realm while you're trying to do these quests. Like, I think that's a really nice decision to kind of break out of just the, you know, oh, you can mount up and then you can like fly over 10 mobs and then land on the ground and collect your loot item up and fly over them. Like, you actually have to fight your way through them while you're also, you know, trying not to get, you know, hunted down by this like pack of alliance that's following you around. So I think it's a nice change. I think them doing something like that would be good. I don't know if it is cross realm zone immediately, but I would assume that they'll open it up to that eventually.
Well, nothing in Pandaria is at the moment unless you invite somebody, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean, I liked Pandaria when you were, you know, you were questing through it and you were leveling up and you couldn't fly right away. Like, flying should be a nice bonus feature, but it shouldn't be something that's considered mandatory across the board when you're going through all these different zones.
Yeah.
And I think it's a nice change of pace that, you know, you actually have to use your ground mount you know, there's a reason to pull out the Spectral Tiger. And, you know, to be able to go do these quests, and you kind of have to tackle things a little bit differently rather than, like I said, just flying over everything. You actually have to, like, you know, wade your way through the area.
Yeah. Do you feel that way on your alts, though, too? I mean, once you've done it on 1-2 and you're kind of like, okay, can I, I've done this, can I fly now, please?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that, at least for, like, the leveling stuff, they'll eventually put in, like, they did in Wrath with, like, the book that you could buy, and it was, like, buying an account that you can, like, mail to an alt or whatever. I think for, like, a daily quest area outside near the raid zone, I think doing it, like, the Sunwell zone-esque type thing is an acceptable thing for that one specific area. Obviously not do it everywhere. Like, don't remove flying from vanilla zones. But having these little pockets of areas that, you know, you actually have to think before you move, I think is a good idea.
All right. For let's look at this here real quick. I know for me personally, I am still kind of ignoring socket bonuses and going straight spirit on everything. Where do you think spirit mana is at? I know you're definitely a lot more geared out than I am. Is it still being a monk, is that still relevant to you? I know you play all the healing classes except for paladin. Are you still pushing for spirit on everything, or is that starting to taper back for you now?
Spirit's still definitely a huge thing for me. I don't know when we're going to hit a point where we don't really care about spirit anymore, but as long as they keep the spirit on the physical gear itself kind of toned back, I think you're going to be gemming spirit for a very, very long time. I'm doing a little bit of intellect for farm stuff, but like once we get into 5.2 progression, that's going to be full spirit again. And I really could see myself going, you know, mostly full spirit all the way through, you know, the 5.4 progression, you know, whatever ends up being the final tier of the expansion, which I think it's a good thing. It's nice to actually have to consider your mana. But at the same time, it's kind of frustrating that you can't just go full throughput yet.
It is a good thing but it feels different on every class. And to me, it's annoying that I can't consider any other stats. I don't even look at intellect, man. It's just 320 spirit across the board, you know, unless maybe the socket bonus is a good chunk of spirit, then I'll put in like a hyper gem or something. But I don't know. It feels a little like, Even some of the tier pieces don't have spirit on them, and I'm kind of like, oh, is this just something that they're doing at the beginning of the expansion so they can give you better gear later on, and it's really, really, really nice? Or do you think this is going to be a trend now?
I think it's a nice entry level thing. Like the idea is that they want you to feel more powerful the more gear you get. So as you're going through the expansion, you should feel as if you're becoming more and more and more powerful each tier that you're going through. But it also shouldn't be to the point of where you go, you know, first tier, you're like, oh, my God, spirit. And then second tier, you're kind of like, eh. And then the third tier, you're kind of like, oh, my God, intellect. Like, they want to have a balance eventually you should be able to kind of factor in both to an extent, but you shouldn't be able to just go full like throughput, because trying to balance full through like that is pretty crazy as well. So I think them doing that is fine. Some, you know, like gloves, I don't think gloves have spirit on them, or they don't have a socket, or no, it's legs that don't have spirit on them.
No,
I think that's okay. And I think that's something that, you know, the more gear you get, the more tier gear that comes out and whatnot, the less you're going to have to worry about spirit, but hopefully not to the point where it was like in Cataclysm, where you just, you know, you didn't care, period.
All right, and let's see, class balance. What are you feeling that right now? I know since you are, I've been watching you level your druid on the EU realms, and I actually did a couple of LFRs with you on your shaman. What are you feeling about class balance right now between different healers?
I think they're starting to do a little bit of a better job with it. They, like, when 5.1 was coming about, I was like, did they forget that druids exist? Like, is that a class still? Like, what's going on, Blizzard? And they're, you know, they're finally looking at that. They're reworking monks a little bit. They finally nerfed priests. And I think they're doing a better job with it. Balance is never going to be perfect. It's just, I mean, the game's, what, 8 years old now? something like that. And it's like, it's still not perfect now. It's never going to be perfect. You're always going to have like this kind of ping pong cycle with it. But I think right now with 5.2 changes and with where they're going with the 5.2 changes, overall, they're doing a pretty solid job trying to get things a little bit more balanced out. And they remembered that druids exist this time around. Buff priests.
Buff spirit shell.
Yeah.
So I know we had a question a couple of weeks ago when we wanted to have you on. We kind of had to reschedule, but somebody was asking about fist weaving and the eminence healing for a monk. Where do you think that's headed with 5.2? I know they added in the mana return for tiger palms, like 1%. Do you think that's going to be a viable overall option, or is it still going to be really hybrid? Or
I've been doing a lot of fist weaving. A lot of fist weaving on PTR, and I'm talking about zeal weaving where you like maintain your buffs, and then you just kind of like jab uplift like to your heart's content. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'm doing a lot of fist weaving, mostly because if you do it well enough, you're actually out damaging tanks.
Oh, nice!
Which is pretty absurd.
Really contributing.
Cool. I think they're going to have to tone it down because you might get a point where it's kind of like monks are doing equivalent healing. They don't have any utility, but they're doing more damage than a tank. So that'll, you know, beat damage like in rage checks on specific fights. I think that's definitely a concern, but it's nice to see that they're actually improving the damage that they're doing with that, and they're kind of, you know, reworking it a little bit. And I think fist weaving does have a potential to really kind of turn into its own unique play style, more so than what Atonement has been in the past, which I think is a good thing overall. And one of the things that I think it was like today or the other day, someone in my stream mentioned, they were like, well, what if they decide to do just like you do damage, like more damage than an Atonement priest would, instead of giving you utility, like instead of giving you an absorb or like a barrier style cooldown, what if you just do more damage than a tank? What if that is your utility? And I think that's an interesting way to take the class, and it'll be, I'm excited to see what they do with fist weaving. Like I'm really having a blast with it right now on PTR.
Well, there's not a lot of melee that you get as a mist weaver. So is there a rotation to it? I mean, you said you could keep up your buffs and then jab. But it, I mean, are you building your combo points? You're jabbing. What is it now? Chi wave that you're using.
Yeah, for 10-man stuff, I've been using it, yeah.
Well, yeah, one of the folks here in the chat, how would you best explain fist weaving? How do you go about it?
Well, I mean, right now, I'm going to butcher it because I don't remember what the exact spell is, but let me see if I can find an MMO champion.
Kick,
Monk,
punch.
Monk gets a spell, it's called Muscle Memory. So if you jab, you gain a passive buff that increases the damage done by your next Tiger Palm or Blackout Kick by 200%. So the idea really is, you know, maintain Blackout Kick for your Serpent Zeal like you have been before, and now it's kind of like jab Tiger Palm, jag Tiger Palm, and Tiger Palm's also giving you 1% of your mana back, so the jab mana cost is offset a little bit. So you're maintaining your buffs, and then you're really just, you know, doing a jab Tiger Palm rotation is kind of where it's going right now, which is different than what we've done in the past, as opposed to maintaining buffs, doing, you know, jab uplift or jab blackout kick, and it kind of adds, you know, a couple other things for you to track, but a little bit more. I think it's, you know, muscle memory is kind of a fun way to go about that, because you're getting, you know, 200k Tiger Palm crits, which is absolutely hilarious. Hey, to watch.
That's awesome. Now, is that just going to leave straight heals out of the equation, or are you still throwing an enveloping or surging or anything like that?
Well, I mean, there, when you Tiger Palm, you gain a buff that, I forget what it's called, but you get a buff that reduces like the mana cost and the cast time of Surging Mist by like 20%, stacking up to 5 times. So if you get a 5 stack, then it's, you know, free or whatever. So since you're Tiger Palming, you're getting a lot of free surgings, you're still renewing mists and, you know, managing it with Thunder Focus T. You're still using your tier 30 talents, and then whatever you've got is your level 90 talents. So they allow you to still do quite a bit of healing, and there's a little less there used to be a pretty obvious line between like doing like a Zeal Weave or a Fist Weave, and now it's just kind of like you're weaving the two weaves together. weaving.
So it's very hybrid then.
Yeah, so you're doing a lot of hybrid. Like, you do a lot of damage, but then you can also do some healing. And while you're doing the damage, you're getting free surging miss procs and you know, things of that nature. And it's been working really well for what I've done so far on 10-man testing. It'll work better in a 25-man setting because you've got more healers and, you know, things, paladins more focused on tank healing or whatever, so you can actually do more damage. But the healing you're doing through Eminence is actually pretty comparable when you're also managing, you know, your Thunder Focus T and your uplifts and renewing miss and just kind of like dealing with that as you need to for heavy AoE phases.
If you were not playing a monk, what class would you play for heals?
If I wasn't on a monk, I would probably be on a priest simply because they're good. And, you know, they absorb and all that jazz. My personal preference right now is I want to be on my monk. I'm really, really enjoying it. And before it was like, you know, my druid was my main in Firelands and I switched to my priest because the guild needed it. And then I switched to the monk because, you know, the guild needed it. And now I'm kind of in a position where I'm kind of like, I'm really enjoying the game and I'm really enjoying the play style of this class. And, you know, I really just want to be on my monk no matter what. But it would probably, so with that in mind, it would probably be, you know, my priest, or if a druid becomes insanely overpowered, you know, I would go back to my druid simply because the guild needs it more so than, you know, because I want to.
Yeah, I guess being a progression guild, you really do have to take flavor of the month into mind, huh?
To an extent, I mean, not all of our healers do it. I'm really the most fluid healer when it comes to it, mostly because I don't mind doing it. But I mean, you know, even Method used like resto druids, like sometimes two resto druids on some of their kills, and you know, they're world first. So obviously, min maxing to an extreme doesn't guarantee you a kill, but I think it makes things a little bit easier. So since I've got the flexibility to do so, I'll try and facilitate something that might just flow a little bit better for the guild.
Right on. Cool. Well, we're about to wrap this up here a little bit. I think we've got one or two other things here. Hen, do you want to take the...
All right. Let's play with this. All right, that means it's macro of the week time. Affinity, do you have a favorite macro you want to share with us?
You can't play that audio clip and then go to me about a macro. I'm lame when I
play that. Epic, world-class, Affinity.
Epic music goes to
you
Affinity.
Betcha.
I use mouse over macros, and that's kind of about it. Yeah, I don't really have any fancy. I mean, I've got a cast random like mount macro, but I'm like really lame when it comes to macros. I don't do anything crazy with my macros.
All right,
you mouse over heal though, right?
Yeah, I just use regular basic mouse over macros.
Any adds or anything that you have to have while you're healing?
Weak auras.
Yeah,
you can do everything in weak auras. Screw the rest of the add-ons. Like weak auras.
Right.
You can make a boss mod out of weak auras.
Somebody was asking me about weak auras, and I was like, oh man, yeah, go jump into Infinity's channel and ask somebody for weak auras, and he's got them set up for pretty much all the healing classes. Oh no, I found this add-on that puts 1,500 different things on your screen and spins around, and I'm like, nah, dude, just weak auras. Just weak auras.
Like, yeah, you need a separate add-on to do that, but I can do that add-on and Ingula's Rapture and this other add-on and this other add-on and this other add-on all within weak auras. That's like,
there it is, right there.
Weak auras. Just go for a weak auras. Like, there's one of my other mods, Rehawk, actually linked this video. This guy made like these unit frames within weak auras that like, it's got these fancy like spinning graphics, and it looks really, really cool. And it's just like, some of the stuff you can do in weak auras is just like, why do you need another add-on? Like, weak auras can do everything if you know what you're doing with it.
Cool. All right, well, I guess we do need a macro, so I have one at the ready. We mentioned this a couple of shows ago, but a farming macro, and we've added to it since then. The base of it is just, you know, target tilled soil, and then used the specific seed. But where we've gone and added it, we've now added a shift modifier to use the plow. So it's all on the same button as you're planting the seeds. And what I like to do every day is you get a daily quest from the tillers to plant a specific crop. And all you have to do is plant it to get 10 gold. It's a free, easy 10 gold. And then what I do is I will dig up that plant and then plant something I really want. So I've added a shift modifier to the macro. You plant the seed, then you clear its affliction, and the macro will then target that growing plant, use the shovel to get rid of it, and then you can continue to use the macro to plant your next seed. So I will make sure that goes up on the show notes and on the website under the macro of the week section. All right, let's get into
What's that? Like next level hacking.
You're gonna start. You're gonna start farming now, aren't you?
I want that, Matt. Well, I do farming. I want that freaking macro.
You got it, dude.
That's awesome. Oh, the one macro that I can think of. Now that I'm thinking of it, it kind of extends on into that, and I'll have to give it to you guys. Let me see if I can find it. You actually, I don't know if you guys have seen it before, but you can actually use this macro that buys cooking mats, like, for, you know, from the cooking vendor. Let's say, you know, you want to buy like 20 stacks of like fish or whatever off of the vendor with like your cooking tokens. Mm-hmm. You can actually do this run macro that'll actually just like, you can tell it what item you want to buy and how many you want to buy. And instead of having to, you know, right click, hit the yes, I want to buy this, right click, yes, I want to buy this, it'll just buy all of them. It's like really awesome.
Oh, cool. So you pre-program the recipes or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, like, you know, a bunch of soy sauce, you tell it you want 25 soy sauce, and then you just, like, click the macro, and it goes. It's not quite as exciting as your, like, farming, like, hacking, like, gnomish engineering crap that you've got going on over there, but...
It's just one button.
Useful, I think. Right. It's pretty spiffy, somewhat.
All right, yeah, let's do...
I want your cooking one, for sure, or your...
Okay, well, let's do some hand love here.
Well, hand love, just be happy there aren't more of these. Now hand love.
All right, we'll send some hand love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. And as well, Root and Freckleface from the Hearthcast podcast, who are also in our guild. Send them some hand love as well.
And I'd like to thank all the listeners and our Twitter people and our Facebook people and especially everybody that joined us in the stream tonight and stuck around, even though Affinity's not doing anything special to stick around and participate in this. You guys are awesome. Really, really, really appreciate it. Affinity, you got any special shout-outs besides hand love?
Hand love. Hand love. I'm sorry, I'm just cracking up over here. I don't know, the usual. You know where to follow me, twitch.tv/affinitybl. Recently, we finally launched, not really related to my stream, but Blood Legion itself released blgaming.net finally, which is awesome. The website looks good. The coding's kind of iffy on it, but the website's pretty nice, and we're, you know, finally transitioning over to that. That's kind of about it, though. Fancy website.
Is that just WoW stuff? It sounds like gaming in general, so they're whatever you guys.
Well, I mean, it's kind of generalized. Like if we move into something else or whatever, then yeah, it's there. But it's just, you know, Blood Legion WoW stuff right now at the moment, and they want to expand it into like doing guides and other news stuff eventually. Oh, yeah. But it'll get spiffy over time.
Are you guys still Star Wars writing at all?
And kind of. Not really. We haven't done anything. Like, we did 2 weeks, and then we kind of, like, stopped, and people said that they want to do it, but we just haven't, like, picked it back up yet. But hopefully we'll start doing that again soon.
All right. Cool. We have a five-star review here. It is from Isabeau Rose. Says, this should cost real money. Your podcast is freaking awesome. Every time the podcast comes out, I end up with a page of notes. Such great information, and the hosts are absolutely delightful. Thank you, guys. /train. So appreciate it. It's awesome. We love the hand love, and we love the 5-star reviews. Is there anything else? Any other shout out, contact information, plugs that you want to? We're in your streams, obviously. You got that. Is there anything else you wanted to throw out there before we wrap this up?
Affinity.com. I forgot about that. Website's kind of a work in progress.
Now, that is like, for anything in particular?
About me. Really, just like the ideas I wanted to have it just consolidate some things, like with, you know, videos and UiPath and information regarding that, and, you know, maybe like an FAQ section or something that just kind of something a little more consolidated than you can really throw like in an info section on Twitch. But it's kind of, you know, it's a work in progress, but it's getting there.
Right on. Very cool.
Cool. All right. I guess that does it for episode 30 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. We also encourage you to leave comments on the episodes. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, or follow the show on Twitter at Training Dummies. There's also Hoofit, who was not here with us tonight, at WowHoof, Rob at Rob Copeland, and myself, Hend, at Hend_Horderlies. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to theshow@thetrainingdummies.com. And as well, you can leave it a voicemail on our website via a SpeakPipe add-on on the right-hand side of the page. Just look for that. Thanks, and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take
hands love.
Woo! Woo!